We are in the Christmas season, right? Amen. That's when we celebrate the birth. And Alex, I got a lot of reverb up here, back. I don't know if you can't fix it. Okay, I'll just deal with it then. All right. Well, anyway, so, but it is Christmas, and we appreciate you that if you, take part in that. I think the sleigh's right out there. Let's throw it in the sleigh, and we'll be happy people, and the gifts are always good. This kind of helps us with our budget and those kind of things. So, but I can tell you the world's a mess, isn't it? I can tell you it's messy. It isn't getting messy. I turned on, I think it was CNN or one of the news channels there. I lasted not even 60 seconds. Yeah, three people on the panel, and all they did was argue. They're arguing about things that really probably don't even matter. And we're catching ourselves getting caught up into that. We can burn a lot of time up into that. And what happens sometimes in this, and I've served my country. I love my country, but my country doesn't come above him. It does not come above him. I'm going to tell you, it never will. Doesn't mean I don't love my country, but I want to tell you, I want to be more about godly things. I don't want to get caught up in those traps where they continue to take a person and enslave them. And I tell you what, the longer you watch it, the more you get angry. And that's exactly what Lucifer wants you to get. He wants you to become angry with people, then almost to the point where you got people's names in your mind that you can't stand them, and then you become hateful. You have a bitterness and it becomes hateful, and we have to be careful. Because God's Word tells us, whether you like the president or not, or you like the governor or not, the Word tells us we have to pray for them. And it's not just in the New Testament, it also tells us in the Old Testament that we are to pray for them, that they would prosper, that we might prosper as well. This is not a perfect world. It was at one time. But we messed it up. And God sent a Savior to redeem us from the sins that we commit, that we might have a relationship with God again. But the world itself is going to crash when God says it's time. But today we are here to worship the Lord the best that we can. We're going to give an attempt to worship Him. That's what I always say. We're attempting to worship. We're attempting and just praying that He will receive it and take it in. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to be in the book of John for a minute. We weren't in there yet last week. And as we were there last week, we kind of picked up a little bit in that first half, but I want to pick it up into the second half a little bit. But I want to tell you today, we have become a people, and I don't want to be negative, but we have become a people who struggle with pride, control issues, jealousies. That's the American person today. And we struggle with it. It doesn't mean we all struggle with pride a little bit. And we got to be honest, we all struggle with pride a little bit. We all struggle with control issues. We also struggle with jealousies. Jealousies is a big thing. When people have things that you want, or you get upset about certain things, and jealousies can come in, and they can be very damaging. And some I have known this to be true. God does not need you to defend Him. God does pretty good about defending Himself. You can't force the gospel down someone's throat. You can't make someone become a believer. You can't make someone change. We need to give some things that are in God's hands. We need to do what we are called to do and let God do His part. So we're going to pick it up in John chapter 3. We're going to start around in verse 32 or verse 22. And today I'm using my NIV. Last week I'll use different versions, different weeks, and this week I'm using my NIV. Tonight I'm using New King James. It's just the way it is. I love all the different versions. And sometimes when you're preaching, a certain version hits you better. And then when you're teaching, sometimes another version will hit you better, even on the same scriptures. But today we're going to be in the NIV because this is more like a storytelling. It says, after this, Jesus and His disciples went out to the Judean countryside where He spent some time in them. With them and baptized. Now John also was baptizing at Hinnom and Salim because there was plenty of water and people were constantly coming to be baptized. This was before John was put into prison. So we see here that we see Jesus has some disciples, and we see John has some disciples, and there's some talk about, maybe there's some thinking, why doesn't the guys from John the Baptist and his disciples, why don't they join Jesus and his disciples? They're all on the same team. Here's the thing. You're going to be doing different ministries, but the ministries need to be, they need to be going to one direction. Up. They need to be going to the Lord. Amen? The ministries, whatever you do for the Lord, it needs to go to get, it needs to go up to the Lord, not building our own kingdoms. And we'll talk about that for a moment. But what we see here specifically is that we have John and his disciples, and we have Jesus and his disciples, and they're both baptizing. Okay, they're both baptizing. Now I want to tell you, if you just kind of look over to chapter 4, verse 2, just for a second. It says, although in fact it was not Jesus who baptized, but his disciples. So Jesus didn't do any baptizing, okay? It was his disciples. Because if you read this, you'll think that maybe Jesus was doing the baptizing, but it wasn't, okay? It was his disciples. Jesus authorized it, but it was his disciples. So we have a ministry team going on over here, and that's John and his disciples. We have a ministry team over here with Jesus and his disciples. And some people say, well, why didn't they just join up? Well, there's some different reasons why they didn't join up, but one we're just going to say is we know John was the forerunner, and John is a gift. John was a gift to the world. Jesus is a gift to the world. John the Baptist was a gift. It was a prophetic piece that he was going to come. A forerunner was going to come before the Messiah. So John came and he was doing his ministry, baptizing for the forgiveness of sins, and doing his ministry, and he was setting forth for the beginning that the Messiah was coming. And so he had a ministry, and he was fulfilling his ministry. And so we go, and we see a piece here, as they're beginning to do those things. When there's two ministries, there always seems to be something that's always going to arise. We're talking a little bit about control today, a little bit about pride, a little about jealousies, and a whole lot of other stuff. Verse 26 said, they came to John, and they said to him, Rabbi, this man who is with you on the other side of the Jordan, me and Jesus, the one you testified about, well, he is baptizing and everyone is going to him. Here we find a piece here that we need to know that John is preparing people for the coming of the Messiah. Okay? He's preparing that. What we see here is we see a prime perfect example of jealousy in ministry. What we're seeing here is that John's disciples, they begin to say that he is baptizing and everybody is going over to his ministry now. Everybody is going to that side. Or as we can say today, now everybody's going to that church. Or everybody's going over to that church. And they're kind of leaving the church that we're in now. And that can be heartbreaking when you begin to do a lot of work and you're wondering why. You're building it up. Your building ministry is being built up, and then all of a sudden it's going down. And people are going over there. Now I want to tell you that's a good thing that people were going over there. But I also want to tell you that when you begin to read Mark chapter 2, 3, and 4, 5, you begin to see people just running to Jesus because it's a big showtime. Now, some people are running to Jesus because for the first time in their life, true hope has walked in front of them. There are people that have seen it back then, that they see that there is a gift that is coming. Here is the Messiah. Some of them don't even realize it, but they know that there's a man who heals, who's teaching like no other, and they want to go out and see him. They want to go out, and the blind would stand there and yell out, Son of David. They were doing all kinds of things because when he would go by, a lot of times he wasn't coming back. And they would go out there to meet him. But a lot of people went out to see the show. A lot of people went out to see what is all the big ruckus about. What is going on? What's going on? And sometimes when you hear about the lights and the sounds, people will do that even in church today. Because a new church got a new sound system. They got all this stuff. They got the lights. They got this new big praise banner. Everybody shoots off to one part of town. They'll shoot to another part of town. You're always going to have that. We're always going to have that because we move sometimes for the wrong reasons. But sometimes people move for the right reasons. So that can mess with you that work in ministry. That can mess with you because we feel in ministry many times, and Southern Baptists are very bad about it, that numbers mean about everything. Because when you start a church, believe me, you should have seen the papers I had to fill out every month. And and it becomes pressure on you to figure out the numbers, the numbers, the numbers. And then people will tell you why you don't have enough numbers, or what are you doing wrong. And what happens is those numbers become more important. They can become a stumbling block in your ministry. This did not get past John. John saw this, and John's going to talk about this for a moment. And I'm glad that the Lord has given this in Scripture, because he could have just finished it and been done with it, but he didn't. He gave us some pieces to this part. So to this, John has a reply to this, because there is a part in his men, his disciples. He put a lot of time in his disciples. And I'm sure his disciples, they were good men. They were very good men. Later on, they would come to Jesus and ask him a question. John wanted to know. John got in a very dark place. And he was arrested. He got in a very dark place. And he wanted to know, really, was Jesus the one? Will you go back and ask him if he's the Messiah? Even the great John the Baptist, who Jesus said there was none like him, even he had a moment where he just wasn't sure. And Jesus testified, and I'm sure the disciples took care of that, and we know that John was martyred. But here we see John the Baptist. He replies with this: a man can receive only what is given him from heaven. A man can only receive what he's given from heaven. A church can only receive what God has called them to do. I want to give you an example. We know that we have toured a few places down in, we toured a place down in Florida, in Leesburg. Mike and Jonah were with us, and Scott and Deb were with us, me and Carla, and there was another couple, I believe, that was with us. Jerry and Diane, yes. And we went down there and we saw that. And they had the great ministries. It still sticks in my brain. I actually called him up this week. And they are doing fine. But they are building more and more. And they had all the ministries they have, they added a hotel, whatever, and give them the building. And now they have housing in it for families. It's an amazing ministry, they said. And now they're doing something else. They just keep building. But there was a ministry that they wanted to do. And the ministry was to have one of the best youth groups and the best youth ministries there was. And it was a short time after we did that. We went to visit in 2005. Do I remember the date? 2006, I had talked to them, because they were talking about 2005. 2006, they started it, and it lasted 30 days. They had all the finances you can ask for. They had the staff, and many of them were professional, and you couldn't ask for anything more. But it wasn't what God had called them to do at that time. It lasted 30 days. You see, you can only do what God's called you to do. If it's going to be successful, it needs to be with what God's called you to do. See, there are some things in this church that we're not going to be able to do because it's not what God has called us to do. But it doesn't mean it's the wrong thing, but sometimes it could be the right thing, but the wrong time. Now, they have a youth ministry that is pretty big, and they have their own building, and it's a community center. You see, sometimes you can do something, and it is the right thing, but it is the wrong time. Visionaries catch that. Okay? Sometimes my mind will come up with something, like I'm praying through something, I'm like, okay, this is it. But then I know, this is the right thing, but it's not the right timing. Sometimes it is the wrong thing, and you know, that door is going to shut, and it's going to be shut. And you need to work that out. But here he says, a man can only receive what is given him from heaven. You know, there are many times that God says, if you don't have it, you ask for it from him. And God loves to give. Truly, God loves to give. Look at your own life and see what God has given to you. But we can only receive what God has given to us. It is amazing to see what God has given to New Life. And other things, it's amazing to figure out why we haven't got certain things at New Life. We are not the only church in town. We are not the only church in the United States. We are not the only church doing what God's, you know, doing what the vision that God's called them to do. There's a lot of good people. There's a lot of good Christians. We're supposed to be family. But there are more problems in churches today and denominations that we have a hard time crossing barrier, denominational and non-denominational barriers. We struggle with that. Just to let you know, this week, I want to share with you this week that I had a couple of weeks ago, this thing kept coming up on my heart, up on my mind. I felt like the Holy Spirit was just saying, Jimmy, I want you to get some people together. So I got some people together over this last week, and I had Carla went with me, and we went to break bread together because I believe that everybody had a little bit of issue with everybody else. So I had the director of the Dream Center, two of them, the Huntington House, their director there, and the Place of Grace, their director there, and Carla and I. And it was almost like you could just hear the, we made it to the table safely, and we're able to breathe. And we stayed probably an hour and a half, and everybody wanted to redo and revisit again. We are too far away from each other, and as a family, we need to be closer. And when we began to talk about, each one got to talk about what their ministry did and how they accepted people, because I wanted to talk to ones that specifically had shelters. So I talked to each one of them, and we talked about, each director got to talk about what they did in their ministry, what the criteria was and their purposes, and what it meant, what it was for a person to get in. Everybody had different ways of getting into their ministries. And at the end of it, I will tell you this. It was a good meeting. And we will meet again. And I am working on this as well. And I've been thinking, processing this with other couple of pastors, asked me to put something together for the pastors in this community. Because we're acting too much like we're on our own. And we're not on our own. We can only do so much. And if this church was filled, one day I pray it would be filled, whether it be me or someone else here, the bottom would be, and the balcony would be full, it still would not be enough seats for the whole city of Huntington. So it isn't who's going here and who's going there and who's going here and who's going here, and we get upset. You know what? The Bible says rejoice with those who rejoice. And we need to rejoice with our brothers and sisters in their churches if they're growing. If they're sharing Jesus, right? Jesus needs to be the main focus, okay? There's some different ways people do it, but Jesus needs to be the main focus. And John saw that. John says this, a man can only receive what he has given him from heaven. Somebody's got to be the pastor of the inner city. Somebody's got to be the pastor out there in the suburban area. Somebody's got to pastor doctors and lawyers and the white-collar individuals. Somebody's got to pastor the people in the parking lots where the Mercedes and the Cadillacs are on Chapel Road in Fort Wayne. Somebody's got to be the pastor for those who struggle with drugs and alcohol. Somebody's got to be the pastor of this side of town and that side of town and this side of town and that other side of town. Somebody has to do that. But you can't do it all. And John says you can only see what God has given to you. So it isn't about, oh, I think I got a great idea and I want to start this ministry. I have a great idea, I want to start this ministry. No, it's going back and saying, Lord, what have you called me to do? What have you called this church to do? What have you instilled in me? What spiritual gifts? Which is my message is going to be in January, spiritual gifts. So start getting your mind ready for that. But he goes on, he says this, you yourselves can testify that I am not the Christ, but I am sent ahead. He knew his purpose. John knew his purpose. He says, I'm not the Christ, I was sent ahead. I was sent ahead of him. He knew his purpose. I want to ask you, do you know the purpose of this church? I've said it many times. Okay? All right? This church is to meet people at the crossroads. Helping them physically and spiritually. Okay? We are, as the parable of the Good Samaritan, we are the innkeeper. People bring broken people to us, but there has to be people working in the inn to help people, and then the finances will come in from all over the place, and God is doing that and using us. The bridegroom comes, or the bridegroom belongs to the bride. The bride belongs to the bridegroom. And the friend who attends the bridegroom awaits and listens for him and is full of joy when he hears the bridegroom's voice. And he says, so we know that John is he's like the best man.Ay, Jesus is the groom and the church is the bride, and here is the best man, and he's bringing them together and they're doing these things. And we need to realize that we are not above God, and our church is not above the things of God. It's not above God. We are a tool. We are a part of the kingdom, but we are not the king. We are part of the kingdom. And so there's a growing part that we need to learn, that my poll in January is going to get us to step just a little bit closer to God, a little bit more of what he's called us to do. Reaching out, becoming, and giving an extended, becoming who God has called us to be individually and as a church group. And that does not, then that will not determine how many people we have. That will not determine on how many people that we have. You see, when you get that little piece of paper that you have to fill out, and also I got to fill it out, and I give it to Scott every year. Scott, you fill it out. That little piece of paper bugged me for years. Because there was a block in it that would always say, how many people do you lead to salvation? How many people did you baptize? And how many people do you have on Sunday morning? Well, you know, there's more numbers than that. There should be more blocks than that. And there are some more blocks, and it breaks it down. But it never tells you about the hearts of people. It never tells you about the struggles of people. And then it doesn't let you see the whites, the eyes of people. It never lets you see the color of their eyes. It never lets you feel the heartbeat of an individual that is broken. You know, it takes a long time to work with a broken person. They don't get fixed overnight. It's a process in most cases. It's a process. Pastor friend of mine called me last night when my family, I played hooky last night. Mike, I played hooky, and I didn't go shopping with my wife and my family last night on Christmas shopping. I just kind of stayed home and had some home time, and I kind of enjoyed that. I got to read and got to pray, and I get a phone call from a friend who's a pastor, and he calls me up and he says, I'm struggling, man. I said, what's up? He said, I'm just really angry right now. I'm just angry. I said, well, what's the matter? And he just said, I got a guy who told me he was going to kill himself. He was going to overdose. And he said, I was with this guy from 11 in the morning. It was 11 in the morning to like 6 at night, 6, 7:30 at night when he called me. I said, you've been with him that time? He said, yeah, I just can't believe it. I missed my daughter's dance recital. I missed this. I missed the whole day, and this is my day off. And I'm just angry at it. And he goes, but then again, I was with this guy, and I helped him. I said, for number one, I'm going to tell you what, ministry is messy. Number two, ministry will take your time. Yeah, I said, you got to be careful not to let it steal all your time. Because you still got to go home to mama. You don't want the bed to be cold. You don't want the house to be cold. You still got to make sure that you love on them. There are times, I said, let me just give you one little piece. You take them to the hospital. If they're threatening to kill themselves, you take them to the hospital immediately. You let them know you're going to pray with them. Pray with them right there on the spot. Say, man, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to be with you in heart and spirit. I'm going to pray for you right now. And then I said, spend maybe 20, 30 minutes with them and tell them you'll talk to them in the morning. Here it is. I said, man, let the doctors and nurses do what they can do. You do what you can do. And that's the same thing. We can only do what we can do, and you let God do what he can do. When we try to do what God is doing, we're going to mess it up. We're doing too much. And John says, listen, I'm not the groom. What he's saying is, I'm not the Messiah. I can only do what God has given, what he has given to me to do, and I'm going to do that, and I'm going to fulfill that. And John knew the vision and the purpose and his calling in life, all of it since the beginning. And if you know your scriptures a little bit, it's amazing to me, but he was born with the Holy Spirit. It's like he was with the Holy Spirit. It's an amazing piece. John is a very special person. But he was a sinner. He's a very special person. But he was not God. Okay? There is only one Jesus. Amen? There's only one Lord the Creator, and there's only one Holy Spirit. Okay? So he says, I am not those things. But he says this, I get a joy from knowing that he is the Lord and I am not. There should be a joy in knowing what we're trying to do here, what God is using us to do. And there should be a joy knowing that there's some things that's going to happen in this community that we had no part in, but we need to be respectfully and happy for our brothers and sisters who are doing ministry across town. And it's hard sometimes because we have control issues, we have pride issues, and the big one is we have jealousy issues. But we work so hard. How come we're only at 50, 60 people? We were one time at 90, 100. The more ministries we make, the more less people we get. We're hoping the Lord will tilt that back up. But the Lord right now just gets a lot of praise by doing a lot with a small group of people. Right now, God is getting praise. Because you do not hear the things that I hear outside these walls. When you get a call from the vice president from the Southern Baptist Convention, you get one of those calls, and they're saying, "Hey, listen, how are you guys doing? What you're doing? What you guys are doing are amazing." And then him and his own wife write a check, a nice check to the ministries. "We believe in you, and it is amazing what and how God is being praised by." Because he's using a small group here and not a large group. It's expected from a large group. It's good what they do. It's expected. But it's not expected in today's society because it goes against every grain in the business world of success. But John hits him with something that is big. You ever teach something in the Bible? You try to tell somebody something and it almost hits you more than it hit them? Sometimes that happens in preaching. Sometimes that happens in teaching. Sometimes it just happens when you're trying to tell your kids something and you walk away and you go, "Whoa, that was more for me really than it was for them." But John says this big piece right here. He says this. He says, not only a man can receive only what is given to him. Not only says that the joy is mine and it is now complete, but he says this statement that is just amazing. It goes against everything of the business world. He says, "He must become greater and I must become less." I must become less. He must increase and I must decrease. I like that part of the version better, but he must increase and I must decrease. I need to keep decreasing. And he needs to keep increasing in my life. In this church, we need to decrease in many ways, and he needs to increase. It shouldn't be, look what New Life is doing, it's look what God is doing. If you want to add New Life, you say, look what God is doing through New Life. But always put God in there, always put the Lord in there, always put that in there, because who we pray to? We don't pray to the church, we pray to who? We pray to the Lord, amen? So when we have those needs, and he fulfills those needs, and he lays them out, and he gives them to us, because I believe there is a measure of faith given to everyone. And you can't do this without a big measure of faith. Amen? There is a gift of it. There is that here. And I want to tell you, when it happens, we want to give thanks to Jesus Christ right off the top. And we just don't want to say, "Thank you, Jesus." We want to keep on boasting in the Lord, as Paul would say. Keep boasting in the Lord. And be excited and joyful those who are also working for the Lord. But he says, "I must decrease and he must increase." And because it all comes down to the same picture. It all comes down to the same. If they're across town doing what their ministries are, and they're across town over here doing theirs, and I've struggled with some things, I got to tell you, in my flesh, I've struggled with some things. But if it comes down to this one thing that we're going to end here, how can I have a control issue? How can I have a jealousy? And how can I have a prideful issue when it comes down to the last piece that John says? John gives some scriptures here, but then he ends up finishing with this in 36. He says for this. Verse 34, I'm sorry. "For the one whom God has sent speaks the words of God, and for God gives the Spirit without limit. The Father loves the Son and has placed everything in his hands." Here it goes. "Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains in him." It all has to come back to Jesus. It all has to come back to him. And many people have asked me, "How can you believe in a God you cannot see?" I've had that happen. I've had people who have struggled with their Christian relationship. They're Christian, they've done great things. Doesn't make them a Christian, but they have all the things, the out parts of a Christian. They just have a moment in their life where they just have a question. Have a doubt, a moment of doubt. We all have moments of doubt. This is why you can't do it without him. That you need him every day. Because you know when you step away and you have that moment of doubt, you step away and you have a moment, you know what you end up doing? People with a doubt usually end up doing? They start talking to God. They usually end up, they talk to a few people, and then they go back and what happens? Because internally the Holy Spirit is pulling them back, showing them, teaching them, sharing with them, "Listen, you know that I'm real. Get back off this road and get back on the road I called you to do. If you struggle with these things of control and jealousies and pride and those kind of things, there's only one way to get rid of those things, and this is to lay them before the Lord's feet. If you have jealousies of other ministries and jealousies of people in the church and jealousies because somebody drives a better car than you, or jealousies because their ministry is stronger or bigger than yours, or you get upset because the church here is not as strong or is not as big physically as some of the other ones, and people-wise, it's a pretty big building, but people-wise. And you got to do something in there and get your heart, because you're like the disciples, John's disciples. And John says, listen, you can't, no, don't think like that. We can only do what God's called us to do. I'm not the one. You'll never find a perfect church, because the perfect church isn't here. It's up there. And all these people running around looking, you know what? I don't have time to be looking at that. I'll let them work that out with the Lord, and let them, because things will pull you off the direction where you need to be. Focus, as John says, listen, I know what I'm supposed to be doing. I was sent here ahead of him, and my joy is complete. Know who you are in Christ. Know who Christ is in you. But when it comes down to that relationship with you and him, and you find your moment like those disciples, and you get angry and you get upset because everybody sounds like they're against you. You're losing people. You're losing it. It's okay. As long as God is glorified and you're doing what God has called you to do. Now, this message isn't one for certain. This message is much more for those who work in ministry, but it also can work in your individual life as well. We do have jealousies, and we are prideful, and we have control issues. And the only way to fix it, the only way to get rid of it, is give it to the one who can handle it. Amen? Let's go ahead and stand. I'll give you an opportunity today. If you'd like to come down and you want to pray about some things in your life, whatever they may be, I want to challenge you to make sure that you do that in the way that God wants you to. John says, I got to decrease, and he's got to increase. Jesus needs to increase, and I need to decrease. You know what that does? That's the opposite of pride. John the Baptist was a man of humility, a man of humbleness, a man of great love. He wasn't a perfect man, but he was an awesome man.